إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي أبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخوة وأخوات في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته إن شاء الله this is going to be a continuation of the explanation of the book المنتقى من أخبار المصطفى بعض المواضع المنهي عنها والمأذون في الصلاة بشرط أصدو the places where it is forbidden to pray to observe salah and the places where salah is permitted. عن جابر أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال from جابر may Allah be pleased with him he said that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said جعلت لي الأرض طهورا ومسجدا The earth is made for me tahuran as a means of purification wa masjidan and a place of prayer fa ayyuma rajulin adrakati us-salatu falyusalli haythu adrakathu any man that salah overtakes should pray wherever it overtakes him. That is, whenever it is time for salah, you pray wherever you find yourself. Muttafaqun alayhi, it is agreed upon. From the hadith it is clear that all parts on the surface of the earth are considered as masjid, except if you have a text that contains some places. So the basis is that you can observe salah anywhere on the surface of the earth. That is the basis. But when there is a text that says we shouldn't observe salah at a particular place, then it is exempted from this general hadith. Muttafaqun alayhi, this is agreed upon. Waqala ibn al-Munzir, Ibn al-Munzir, one of the great scholars of Islam, said, Sabata. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال It is established that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said جعلت لي كل أرض طيبة مسجدا جعلت لي كل أرض طيبة مسجدا وطهورا Every good earth is made for me a masjid, a place of worship, wataruran, and a means of purification. رواه الخطابي بإسناد. الخطابي reported this with the Sheikh. وعن أبي ذر from أبو ذر الغفاري رضي الله عنه قال سألت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم I asked the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم أي مسجد وضع أولا which mosque was established first. قال المسجد الحرام it says the sacred mosque. قلت ثم حج I said after that which one. قال المسجد الأقصى he said الأقصى mosque. قلت كم بينهما I said how many years or what is the time frame between both of them? قال أربعون سنة he said 40 years. قلت ثم أي I said then after that قال أيثما أدركت الصلاة فصلي فكلها مسجد. He said, wherever you meet the Salah, observe it, فَكُلُّهَا مَسْجِدٌ All the surface of the earth is masjid. مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ This is agreed upon. So it is established from this hadith that the first mosque on the surface of the earth is al-Masjid al-Haram. And the second masjid is Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa in Jerusalem. And the time frame between the two is 40 years. Some said it was Nabiullah Yaqub that built it, but there is no clear evidence for that. That is Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Al-Masjid al-Haram, yes, we have the clear evidence that the Prophet Ibrahim والسلام, and his son raised the pillars. That place had been in existence as a masjid. What Prophet Ibrahim والسلام, did was to watch to raise the pillar. While here for Ibrahim, Al-Qawa'id. Now, Muttafaqun alayh, this is agreed upon. When Abi Sa'id from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, anna Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qaal, he said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-arhu kullu'a masjidun illa al-maqbarata wal-hammam. Rawahu khamsatu illa al-Nasa'i. The Prophet said, the earth, kulluha, all of it, masjidun, is a place of worship, illa al-maqbarata wal-hammam, except the graveyard, wal-hammam, and the bathroom. Rawahu khamsa illa al-Nasa'i. Al-Imam Ahmad At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Abu Dawood reported this. So, this hadith is centered Al-Maqbar, the graveyard. It also is centered Al-Hammam. A lot of scholars, they authenticated this hadith. But some said hadith is da'if. Some said hadith is da'if. Particularly the Malikiyah, they have the view that one can observe Salah in the Maqbara. Now a lot of scholars are of the opinion that you can observe Salatul Janaza in the Maqbara. Salatul Janaza, you can observe it in the Maqbara. Either you are praying on the grave or you are praying on the corpse that is placed inside the Maqbara, inside the graveyard. This is what a lot of Malikiyah upon Ibn Abd al-Barr Ali Rahmatullah also said the other salawat can be observed in the Maqbara. And he said the hadith that says, جُعِلَتْ لِيَ الْأَرْضُ مَسْجِدًا وَطَهُورًا, is a kind of speciality of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So nothing can abrogate it. Nothing can abrogate it. So to him, he believes that you can observe any other salah apart from the salah of janaza, you can observe it in what? In the Maqbara. However, a large number of scholars, they are of the opinion that we don't observe other salawat in the Maqbara, not nafila, not to talk of what compulsory salah. But if it is salatul janaza, you can observe that on the corpse, whether the corpse has been buried or the corpse is yet to be buried. An example of when the corpse has been buried is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did with respect to the lady or the man who used to sweep the mosque. The lady or the man died, and the companions, they did not see her or him as somebody who was very, very important. So they quickly arranged the janaza of the woman or the man, as we have it in the report. So they buried her for him at night. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked about her the following day, and they told him what happened and what they did. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, Duluni, he said what? Halla azantumuni, you should have what? Informed me. And said to them, Duluni ala qabriha, Duluni ala qabriha, take me to a grave, or ala qabrihi, to his grave. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam observed salah on the grave. So this is an evidence that one can observe salah on the dead one if the person has been buried, particularly if one did not participate in the janaza. So one can go to the grave and observe salah on the corpse in the grave. This is if it has not been long that is somebody that you meet alive, not somebody who grandfather died for years, then he was informed about that. He said, let me go and observe salah on my grandfather, or let me go and observe salah on my father, who he did not meet alive. So, then that this can be done on the grave, on the post of the corpse, if it has not been watched, if it has not been buried. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, when our mother Aisha radiallahu anha died, it was Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu that observed salah on her in what? In Baqir, in Bakir. He was the one that made the salah on her in Bakir. So that's why a lot of scholars they exempted this. That salat janaza is exempted. However, some scholars are of the opinion that look, you don't observe salat janaza on a corpse unless if the corpse has been buried, like the case of the woman that Jesus killed the masjid. For if it has not, the corpse hasn't been buried, that you cannot observe salat janaza on each emot in the graveyard. In the graveyard, you can do that. So, and that's the favorite opinion of Sheikh Al-Albani Ali Rahmatullah. For a lot of scholars, they have the opinion that observing salah on the corpse in the graveyard is what is permissible, whether the person is been buried or is not in what buried. But other salawat, these nafila or fard, so that you cannot observe this. This is what the jumu'ur are upon. So contrary to the view of the Malikiya, and Ibn Abdul Barr in his book, after reading the Tisar, argue seriously in all this position. But to be on the safe side, one should avoid observing other salawats in the graveyard. One should avoid it. So, as for this hadith, al-ardu kulluha masjidun, the earth, all of it is masjid, illa al-maqbarata al-hammam, except al-maqbara al-hammam. So, if we believe that the hadith is authentic, so we exempted what? We exempt the maqbara and al-hammam, the bathroom. So, we exempt the two. Now, if one performs salah and the maqbara, so as we said, so this will not be what? Valid. What about al-hammam? So most scholars are of the opinion that if you observe salah in the hammam, in the bathroom, if there is no evidence or sign that what there are few there, that the salah is valid, but is what? It's something that is detested. It's detested to observe salah in the hammam. But if one observes it, as long as what? There is no evidence that it was, there is something of urine and the light in it. So he says salah is what? Is valid, contrary to the Hanabila. وعن أبي مرثد الغنوي قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تصلي إلى القبور ولا تجلس عليها رواه الجماعة إلا البخاري وابن ماجه. أبو مرثد الغنوي said the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said لا تصلي إلى القبور, do not pray facing the grave. وَلَا تَجْلِسُوا عَلَيْهَا, and do not sit on the grave. So the Jama'ah reported this, except Bukhari and what? And whom? And Ibn Majah. That he is Muslim, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, Abu Dawud, Ahmad and the likes, they all reported this, except Al-Bukhari and Ibn Majah. Now, it is not okay for us to pray facing the grave. That is when the grave is close by. Let's say about a meter, 2 meters away from us is not okay. But if the grave is far away from us, this will be watched, this will be permissible. Or maybe there is a wall between us and the grave, we cannot see the grave. How this is clear? If we can see the grave, but the grave is far away from us, we can observe salah. But if the grave is very close, only about 2, 3, 4 meters away from us, or let's say about 2 meters, 3 meters away from us, so the hadith, wallahu alam, will apply to it. La tusallu ila al-kubur, do not refit in the grave. So wala tajlisu alayha, and do not sit on the grave. So this is important. If one prays within the grave, this is doing what is prohibited. And an-nahyu yaqtadi at-tahrim. The basis is that when we are forbidden from doing something, it means it what? It is haram. Wal-aslu fil-nahyi al-ish. At-tahrim wal-nahyi yaqtadi al-fasad. If you are prohibited from something, it means if you go ahead to do it, particularly ibadah, if you go ahead to do it, that ibadah will be what? In vanity. Al-aslu fi nahi at-tahrim wal-nahyu yaqtadi al-fasad. That's the basis. Al-nahyu fi ibadah yaqtadi al-fasad. So we have the nahi, la tusallu ila al-qubur. It means what? It is haram. You take it to be haram until you see a text that says otherwise, that the nahi is makruh, not haram. Then an-nahi fil ibadah, when you are forbidden from something in ibadah, yaqtadi al-fasad. Hada wal asl. This is the basis. Unless we see a text that softens that implication. So the one who prays facing the grave has no salah. The one who prays facing the grave has no salah. This is what? This is the way they have opinion. Now if the grave is by the side, right or left or at the back, so if one prays, this is not what? This is not, this does not affect the salah. This does not affect this for that. Now the next hadith. Wa ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma qala, from Abdullah ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he said, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ij'alu min salatikum fi buyutikum. Observe salah in your houses. Observe salah in your houses. وَلَا تَتَّخِذُهَا قُبُورًا. Don't take your houses to the what? Graves. Observe salah in your houses. That is, the women, for instance, they observe their salawat in their houses. Because salat in jama'ah is not compulsory on them. The men, they also observe their salawat, that are nawafi, in their houses. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, أفضل صلاة المرء في بيته إلا المكتوبة. The best salah of a person is the one that he observes in his house, إلا المكتوبة, except a compulsory salah. So here, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ij'alu min salatikum fi buyutikum. That is, observe some of your salawat in your houses, that is the nawafil, you observe in your houses. وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا أَقُبُورَ. Do not take your houses as what? Graves. Don't take your houses as graves. One will understand from this hadith that by observing salawat in our houses, we are not taking our houses as graves. And it means that it is graves that you don't observe salah in them. As we have said, that it is only Salatul Janaza that you observe in the graveyard. So when you decide not to be observing Nawafil at all, how your Nawafil is in the masjid, you don't observe Salat at all. It's like you have taken your houses as what? Graves. Then we understand from it again that we should not be burying our dead ones in our houses. Because when we bury our dead ones in our houses, we have taken our houses to the what? Graves. How to reflect? Because he said what Ija'alu means Falatikum fi buyutikum wala tattakhidhuha quburan. Observe some of your salawat in your houses. Don't take your houses as what? Graves. So it means you don't observe salawat in the graves. And you understand from it that what? That when you bury your dead ones in your houses, you are taking your houses as graves. So which may affect you or prevent you from praying and death. I hope you understand this. There are some scholars, they argue that the hadith does not really go that way. Does not go that way. I mean the second understanding that when you bury your dead ones in your houses, that is, the hadith is telling us by attention that you should not bury your dead one in your houses. So some scholars said, and they used as argument that some of the people of the past bury their dead ones in their houses. So what the hadith to mean that, so they wouldn't have watched practice that. What we say, if it is established that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something, the fact that somebody violates it or a person violates time and kana, that doesn't mean what we throw away the hadith and what we seek to watch that person upset. So the position that you can bury your dead one in your house is not a good position. Yes. Some scholars, a lot of scholars, they hold that view, but the view is what? Is incorrect. The correct view is that you don't bury your dead ones in your houses. You bury them in the graveyard. Some may argue, wasn't the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam buried in the room of Aisha radiallahu anha? Who said yes. He was very dear, but that would be a special case because he said, "Ma qubida nabiyyun illa fil mawdi'i alladhi ahabba yudfana fi." A prophet will not die, will not depart from this world except that he departs in the place that he loves to be buried. Okay, so he was buried in the room of Aisha radiallahu anha. So when he was buried in the room of Aisha radiallahu anha, that place became what? A graveyard. And that was why Abu Bakri was also buried there. And Aisha radiallahu anha had the intention of what? Of being buried there too. But Umar radiallahu anhu took permission to be buried here, and that place cannot accommodate more than one extra person. So Aisha radiallahu anha permitted Umar to be buried here, and that was when she died, she was buried in Al-Baqi. You know, the room was a small room, not a big room. Not a big room. So a small room. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, so he was buried in a space a best fit, then the next place that was available, the next place. So when we were 30 days, what was left was very small. How it played. So when Aisha radiallahu anha, when she died, she was buried in Al-Bakir. So I want to say a graveyard, according to the correct view, only the single grave here. It has become what? A graveyard. It is a single grave that is in a place that has become what? A graveyard. The letter Hanajila, he said before you can call a place a graveyard, there must be at least three graves before you can call it a graveyard. But this, there is not any clear evidence from Al-Imam Ahmad himself that he said that. So the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا أَقُبُورَ, don't take your houses as kubur, as graves. I think it's clear. So we don't bury our dead ones in our houses. The fact that some people did it from among the scholars isn't an evidence that we can do it. So this is what some people in Yoruba land that they will do. This is what has led some of them to be burying their dead ones in their houses. And some will say what? They will also argue that the corpse may be exhumed in the graveyard if they bury in the graveyard. So they prefer to leave their dead ones in their houses, and some of them erect structure on this, so which will lead to molestation of each or veneration of the corpse or the corpses buried in the graves. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, اجعلوا من صلاتكم في بيوتكم ولا تتخذوها قبورا. When Jundub bin Abdullah al-Bajali قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قبل أن يموت بخمس وهو يقول I had a meeting of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم 5 days before his death saying إن من كان قبلكم كانوا يتخذون قبور أنبيائهم وصالحين مصالح. Those who are before you will take the graves of the prophets and the righteous ones among them as places of worship. Allah فَلَا تَتَّقِذُوا الْقُبُورَ مَصَابِي. He said, listen, don't take the graves as places of worship. إِنِّيَا أَنْهَاكُمْ عَنْ ذَلِكَ. I forbid you to do that. Rawahu Muslim, Al-Imam Muslim reported this. So, taking the graves of the righteous people of the Anbiya as places of worship, this is what? This is wrong. This is wrong. And that is why it is established that if graves or a grave or is in a place, we should not erect a mountain on that place. If a mountain is erected on that place, the mountain should be what? Demolished. And if a mountain has been built and somebody is buried in what? In the masjid or in the compound of the masjid, the corpse should be exhumed. So the one that comes first will stay. and the one that comes last, what will live? Because they should not be together. They shouldn't be together. So what will make one to build a masjid on a grave if not with the intention of what? Veneration. Okay, this is the grave of my father. Why do I want to build a masjid on it? Why do I want to build a masjid on that land where the grave of my father is, if not with the intention of what? Veneration. Is that clear? Why do I want to bury my father what in the masjid? There is a masjid existing. There is an existing masjid. Why do I want to bury my father in that masjid? So if not what? For the intention of what? Veneration. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned the companions, "Inna man kana qablakum," those who are before you, "kan yattakhidhuna qubur anbiya'ihim wa salihihim mafarij," they will take the grave of their prophets and their righteous ones as mafarij. They go to that place to supplicate, to watch. So they took that place as what? Are places of worship, so they will venerate them. And this was a little shirk. So when they call on them, they ask them things, they are committing shirk. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Allah, la tattakidu al-qubur masajid. Inni anahaakum an dhalik." Said, listen, don't take the Qubur as masajid. I forbid you to do that. So, somebody may now ask, what about the mosque of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his grave? You know, we said he was buried in the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. He and his two friends, they were buried in the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. And the way it appears is like the graves are inside the masjid. This is not correct. The graves are not inside the masjid. The graves are not inside the masjid. The graves are in the room of Aisha radiallahu anha. And the room of Aisha radiallahu anha is separated from the masjid. But during the time of Al-Walid bin Abdul Malik bin Marwan, they were expanding the mosque of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they had to expand towards that direction. So they expanded towards that direction and they erected some walls and additional walls to make it appear as what, as if they had what, separated it from the masjid. You know, the room had walls before, so they added what, about two or so walls to it, to make it three walls. To make it three walls. So, in order to watch, to make it appear as if what, the arch separated it from the masjid. So, this is the way it has been since then till today. Some scholars like Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah, Sheikh Mubil and some, they gave the idea and the advice that it would be good if they can return it to the way it used to be before that expansion of Al-Walid. Because some people are using it as what? Evidence. They are using it as evidence. But what we knew is that, and what we know is that the house was separate from the masjid. But it was these people, I mean Al-Walid, that ruler, that did that expansion. Though there was a wall of the house, then they added two more words. They added two more words. So, wallahu a'lam, if they could return it back to the way it used to be, that would be better than leaving it the way it is. But what matters to us is the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Huh? Man kana qablakum kanu yattakhidhuna qubura anbiya'ihim wa salihim masajid. Ala fala tattakhidhu al-qubura masajid inni anhaakum an dhalik. So this hadith is what is clear. So we act by the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is God's preparation. Now a lot of the Sufis, so they use this as evidence. I mean, the incident of the Qabr of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr. So you go to Egypt, you see many people, many scholars, imams, are buried in what? In masajid. And you say this is wrong. You say, what is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam buried in the masjid? This is what they will say. They will leave what? The hadith that is telling them not to take what? The kubur as masajid. They say they are not taking the kubur as masajid. Then why are you not burying the dead ones inside the masjid? Why burying the dead ones inside the masjid? Somebody dies, go and bury the person in the graveyard. Why bringing the person to the masjid to bury? Why building masajid on the graves of some dead ones? All in the name that thought they are good people. Some of them will argue, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ غَلَبُوا عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِمْ لَنَتَّقِذَنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ Talking about the Atharika, that those who are of upper hand said you are going to erect a masjid on them. Now they said so, the Rabbin and Akruha, Allah already narrated what they watched, what they did. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ غَلَبُوا عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِمْ لَنَتَّقِذَنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ So the people, they were talking about how to what relate with these people who are dying. Some said what, we'll do this, some say we'll do this. Then those who are upper hand, who are the final state, they said what, we'll erect masjid on them. But our Prophet Allah is telling us that man kana qablakum, كانوا يتخذون قبور أنبيائهم وصالحيهم مساجد فلا تتخذوا القبور مساجد فإني إني أنهاكم عن ذلك. This is the statement of the Messenger of Allah. Why bring him? قال الذين غلبوا على أمرهم. Messenger of Allah told us that those who are before you, they will take the قبور of the أنبياء and their صالحون as masajid. So if some people had upper hand concerning the people of Kaab and they erected masajid on the grave, is that an evidence? This is exactly what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about, the people who are before us who do that. But today you see what these people do. I mean, the Sufis and the likes. So this is what they do. We go to many places in Egypt, in Sudan, in Morocco, Algeria. Nafarullah al-afiyata wa salama. This is common, it's commonplace. So a lot of these Sufi scholars, these Ashaira, they give the Sunnah problem. A lot of them, they are problematic. Clear evidence is they will be acting against them. Doing ta'wil. Huh? So misleading a lot of people. But you should stick to what? We should stick to the sunnah. Because what is established in the sunnah is what matters to us, not what people have said. So inshallah we start with Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Now.
You can see that we have not choosing the haram as the first one, and not in the after the first one, rather not in the another way.
Now, I don't get the question.
You have, I said in the hadith, you have not seen the haram as the first masjid and masjid al-Aqsa. So that means all the Aqsa was erected before masjid al-Nabawi.
Now, the question is, the hadith says watch masjid al-Haram first, then masjid al-Aqsa second, and between them there are 40 years. Does that mean that al-Masjid al-Aqsa was erected before al-Masjid al-Nabawi? Absolutely yes. Yes. So there are what? Centuries between the erection of al-Masjid al-Aqsa and al-Masjid al-Nabawi. So al-Masjid al-Aqsa is the masjid of a lot of prophets. United area that some say it was Prophet Yaqub that erected it. Some said it was Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam that erected it. And undoubtedly Prophet Dawood, Prophet Sulaiman, alayhi salatu wasalam, they all acted and they lived in that area. So they were all used to the masjid. So it is the masjid of the Anbiya. So it was erected centuries before Al-Masjid al-Nabawi. So it was the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that erected Al-Masjid al-Nabawi after he emigrated from Mecca to Medina. Yet, it is more important than Al-Masjid al-Aqsa. The salah in each is worth 1,000 salah. Why the one Al-Masjid al-Haram is 100,000 salah? That of Al-Aqsa is worth less than that. Maybe 500 or thereabouts. So there are kalam in the hadith on that. Wallahu a'lam. When they die.
In the graveyard,
and is it permissible to erect buildings for some special people when they die so that they can be buried there in the graveyard to do that? No, there is no evidence for that. There is no evidence for that. So the graveyard, we shouldn't have a VIP there. Okay. If there is a masjid in the graveyard, in the compound of the graveyard, and the masjid is far away from the kubur, so is it permissible to pray in that masjid? That is to observe the daily salawat or other nawafil apart from the salah of the janazah. Is it permissible? Since that place is harmed, the graveyard, termed what Maqbara, is famed as Maqbara. So once you enter it, it's termed what Maqbara. So we should not observe the five daily prayers there. If you want to do that, we should carve it out. Maybe there should be a wall that separates that masjid from the grave, from the graveyard. How is it clear? So, I don't know that place. But
the Maqbara was not lighted. Another friend.
Once it is friends, so we'll give them different fully. Is it permissible for you to pray in a masjid that has graves, maybe by the right or the left or at the back? It's not permissible. As long as it is within the watch, within the premises of the masjid. The masjid has its soul, it has strength. So that inside the fence, we should not erect or we should not allow a graveyard in it. So if there is any, it should be covered. It should be covered. If the cavity which is corrugated, if it is the compound of the masjid, you have the masjid.
Okay.
You know, there is what they call what? Rahbatul Masjid, that is the premises of the masjid, the courtyard of the masjid. So the courtyard of the masjid is always considered as part and parcel of the masjid, unless if one tries to single it out, you intend it. If you go to Masjidul Nabawi, or Masjidul Nabawi, for instance, see, it is fenced. But once you enter it, you see parked, car park, and you see what? Toilet. So the car park and the toilet are exempted from what? From the masjid. You get it? But can we treat the graveyard the same way? No. Because of what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, that لا تتخذوا القبور مساجد. Don't take the kubur as masajid. So it is good that they carve the kubur, they carve it, carve them out of the place. But if one observes salah, and then does one have salah? Are you with me? So one may have salah, particularly when you are not facing it, because we have the hadith, لا تصلوا إلى القبور. How to sleep? So some will say you have what? Salah, if you are not facing the qabr. Now, some of the mashayikh, like Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah, said in a situation where you cannot find a masjid except that masjid. There is no masjid except the masjid that has what? Grave inside the compound. If you don't pray here, you have to pray in your house. The Sheikh said in a situation like that, one can pray. He said, because your intention is not the grave. You are not going there because of what? The grave you want to pray. He said it's just like the Masjidul Nabawi. You know, I said the Sheikh Ali Rahmatullah said they should what? Bring it out. So the Sheikh believed that the way it is now is what? Is still what? Is still wrong. But you cannot afford to lose the Masjid of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So, but you are praying there not because you intend what? You intend not because of the grave. You want to observe salah. So the Sheikh said it is similar to that. Just as somebody when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said we should not pray when the sun is at the meridian, or when the sun is about to set, or when the sun is rising. You know that, Ali? What if you enter the masjid during those periods? If you enter the masjid during those periods, are you going to pray or you're not going to pray? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that إِذَا دَقَلَ عَدُقُ الْمَسْجِدِ فَلَا يَجِلِسْ حَتَّى يُصَلِّيَ رَكَعَتَيْنِ. He enters during those three periods, then he will pray. His intention is not because of those periods that he's praying. He's praying because he enters the masjid. Say the same thing. If you can't find a masjid without grace, except the one with grace, so of you not to pray in Jama'ah, you pray. Your intention is not because of the grace. Your intention is because you want to observe Salah. So Allah. Now. Now, for people to say, okay, different scholars or different imams are going to observe Salah on a course. Is that okay? That is, this one we observe with Jama'ah, this one we observe with Jama'ah. Since there is no evidence, there is no evidence for that. There is no evidence for that. But let's assume that maybe a group observed Salah on the Qoms. Another group came or comes. This group has not participated in what? In the observance of the Salah. Can they observe? Yes, they can observe. Just like what? Duluni ala ala qabriha. So they can what? They can observe. You that have observed before, can you join them? Fi khilaf. Scholarly differ. Some say, since you have prayed, you don't join them. Some say there is no arm, you can join them. So, Allahu A'lam. Subhanaka lahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.